And I try not to be bashful. My wife says, "You're too outgoing. You embarrass me." The little chorus says, "Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe." Probably got a little low, but let's stand. Would you do that? Stand with me, and let's sing it, and let's believe the Lord for some great and mighty things. How many of you believe God can do some great and mighty things right here at East Sly Avenue Baptist Church? That the best days of this ministry is yet in front of it. And that God's going to do some great and mighty things at Shenandoah Ranch and Shenandoah Haven. Amen. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Father, I pray that you'd bless this service tonight. We need your help and enablement. Lord, we thank you for the privilege you've given us to establish your friendship with Brother Joe and this dear church. And Lord, we thank you for its testimony to stay true and steadfast, and Lord, to stay everlastingly at it. Thank you for the heart that you've given them for lost souls. That's the reason they're going out tomorrow night. That's the reason, Lord, they have a missions program. That's the reason, Lord, you have them continually having services and Bible conferences and missionary speakers and so forth. And Lord, I pray that you'd enlarge the vision of each and every one of us. Help us to believe that great things are still possible in this day and age in which we live, where there's a great falling away. Lord, you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's no lack of ability or lack of power on your part. And Lord, we pray that you'd see a people here at this place who will believe you to do great and mighty things once again. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us and our vision, Lord, to see not only 15 young people at each home, but Lord, perhaps 30 or 40 or 50 young people at each home. And Lord, I pray that you would let us continue to see churches and pastors who will have the same vision and burden. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for the privilege to be in Tampa this week. And Lord, the new doors and new people that you're opening up and for us to meet and come in contact with. Thank you again for the testimony here, and Lord, for what you've given Brother Joe the vision to accomplish. Thank you for what's happening, and Lord, what you're doing. And Lord, we pray you'll continue to keep your hand upon this ministry in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. As I was seeing a while ago the picture of Brother Roloff standing there, I could hardly believe my eyes. Brother Roloff went to be with the Lord in 1982. I don't know if you get to hear him on the radio, but he's still on the radio a lot. That's been well over 20 years ago, over 25 years ago. But I'm glad that he, being dead, yet speaketh. Amen. I'm glad that his ministry's continuing on, and I'm glad that God's raised up other homes, and they're continuing to do on a much smaller scale what Brother Roloff was able to do for many, many years there in Corpus Christi, Texas. I was at People's Baptist Church, Brother Joe, back in 1987. I was there. That was 5 years after he was killed in a plane crash. Dr. Lee Robertson was preaching. I remember God had been dealing with my heart about starting a church in Cleveland, Tennessee. I remember going forward, Brother Dan, before you and I ever met. And I remember Dr. Lee Robertson, when he finished that message that night at People's Baptist Church, I remember going forward and asking him if he would pray with me. I had a burden about starting a church in Cleveland, Tennessee. I had no Bible college. I had nothing but just a burden in my heart. I had a call from God. I really believed that, to start the boys' home. Had I known the Lord was going to ever lead me to pastor, I believe I'd have tried to talk him into letting me go to Bible college, but I didn't know how it was all going to come about. I didn't know we'd have one day a church and one day not only a boys' ranch, but also a girls' haven and a Christian school. But here's what Dr. Robinson told me. I remember this. I wrote it down. I still got the note right here. said, Steve, it may be something big that God has, or something that folks may not understand, but by the grace of God and with all faith in Him, attempt it for His glory. I remember that, and as I was seeing the DVD tonight, I was thankful that I didn't doubt God over 20 years ago. But I went back from Corpus Christi. Dr. Lee Robertson became one of the most often used preachers at Shenandoah Baptist Church. He was only 30 minutes away. People asked, how do you get Dr. Robertson to come? I said, well, if you live 30 minutes from him, it's not hard. He wouldn't fly. He drove to all of his meetings. And we was able to have him many, many times. And our school building is dedicated. It's called the Robertson Roloff Building and dedicated in his honor and Brother Roloff's honor. And we're thankful for the impact that those two men have had on my life personally and on our church's life and on the ministries of Shenandoah Baptist Church. You know, all of us have a scope of influence. We may not realize it, but everybody, we can impact some people. God uses all of us to some extent. And in John chapter number 6 tonight, the message the Lord has put in my heart in the passage is that this thing of a miracle with a message for all of us. You're familiar with this passage, I know. In John chapter 6, Jesus performs a miracle in feeding over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We've heard this many, many times. But I want you to understand that what God did then, God's still able to do tonight in our lives. How many of you need a miracle? And I'm not talking about $1 million. I'm not talking about maybe, you know, what we see promoted on television today. But how many of you need some spiritual miracles to take place in your family or in your life? Hold your hand up if you would. It will take nothing short of a miracle for such and such to happen. And you're believing God for it, and you're asking God for it. Maybe it's a troubled child, or maybe it's a mate, or maybe it's a grandson, or a nephew, or a granddaughter, a niece, or whatever. But you need God to do something, nothing short of miraculous. Do you believe God's still able to do that tonight? Amen. I'm here, I know, to do more tonight than just to let you hear about Shenandoah Haven and Shenandoah Ranch. I know God wants to encourage us through His Word. I want to tell you tonight, you look at men long enough and you're going to be disappointed. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, Psalm 118:8. But I've never been disappointed in this book, and I've never been disappointed in its author. Amen. I believe with all my heart God is just as able to do tonight, Brother Bob, what He's ever been able to do. I believe God's capabilities are the same. The shortage is not with the Lord. The shortage is with you and I. But if we believe God and we're obedient to do God's will for God's glory, I believe God can still do some great and mighty things. A miracle with a message for all of us. Notice in John chapter 6. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these... For He Himself, okay, if we got, am I up too loud? All right, okay. And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Am I too close here, maybe? Okay. All right, we're okay. For the Bible says in verse number 6, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 500. And Jesus... about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, when he had given thanks and distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. But when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Jesus had a serious and eternal message to deliver through this miracle. The message was simply this, that he is the answer to man's greatest need. How many of you believe there's a void in, there is a void in the heart of every man and every woman and every boy and every girl? There is a message, a void there that only the Lord Jesus can fill. I've seen people with lots of money and people with lots of material things just as unhappy and empty as they could be. Then I've seen people that did not have much materially. They didn't have a nice car or a nice home, or they didn't have a six-figure job, what is it, a six-figure income. They didn't have any of that, and yet they were just as happy as they could be serving the Lord. There's a void that is in the heart of people, regardless of whatever status of life they're in, that can only be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right, Joe. Amen.
Money will not do it. Pleasure will not do it. Material things will not do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ will fill that void.
That's right. Amen.
And when he comes in and changes a life, he's accomplished something that money can never accomplish. Amen. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I want to tell you tonight, first of all, Jesus was facing what seemed to be an impossible situation. He had thousands of people to feed. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Now, I could no more feed this crowd tonight with what I've got in my back pocket than the rest of the disciples could have taken care of. Their answer, if you'll notice, their solution to the problem was, let's send them away. Jesus said, no, let's have them to come. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah. Amen.
Now, we try to figure out how we're going to get this job, and I'm just done, and I'm just trying to personalize this, or I hope you'll stay with me for a few minutes. My burden and my vision is to see 50 or 60 young people at the boys' home, 50 or 60 young people at the girls' home. That's my burden. That's my vision. That's what keeps me driving. That's what keeps me going. Brother Dan and Miss Linda asked me last night, don't you all get tired? A lot of times we stay at prophet's chambers, and a lot of times we pay for our own motel room, or we go, and maybe God doesn't seem to maybe do anything in the hearts of the people or the pastor, and we leave, and the devil tries to discourage us. But I'm going to tell you something. We're on a mission tonight because the Lord's put it in our heart, and we believe that God's going to do this. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I believe God's going to do it, Brother Joe.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not wanting to send people away. I'm wanting to have people to come. Now, Jesus said, you have them to come on, and we're going to trust God for a miracle.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I want you to write this down. There is nothing too big for God to do.
Amen.
I don't know what your miracle needed in your life is, but I'm going to tell you, it's not too big for God to do. Are you with me tonight? There's nothing too big for God to do. Now, I remember how his disciples must have felt, if you'll let me give a personal illustration. Several years ago, when we were starting the boys' home, we went into my all-time favorite place to eat, and that's the Cracker Barrel. If I've got to eat on the road somewhere, I can't eat at home, I'd rather eat at the Cracker Barrel. So at that particular time, they had all the biscuits and gravy you could eat for $1.59 or $1.39. I set my boys around the table, and we began eating. And it was breakfast time. I was on my way to Glasgow, Kentucky. That's near Bowling Green. I understand we have a brother here that has some folks in Bowling Green. That's where we'll be preaching in Bowling Green just a few days from now. And we began to eat biscuits and gravy. The ladies there were amazed at how much biscuits and gravy about 10 young men and myself could eat. I noticed as this was going on that we were entertaining a man and his wife seated over about three or four tables. They were just absolutely amazed at how many biscuits and gravy. They'd bring out three biscuits and gravy at a time for the boys, and no sooner would they bring them out and turn around, those boys would have those biscuits and gravy eaten. Now, here's the deal. They can eat all day for $1.39 until they get full. I never will forget it. You say, I can't imagine you letting them do it. You ought to try to feed that outfit at a restaurant somewhere, you know. But I know how these disciples felt, you see. And I'm in there, and I never will forget that one of the boys won 21 to 18. He had ate 21 of those biscuits and gravy. And the other one had slid up right beside him, much bigger than he couldn't do it. He stopped at 18. That was all he could do. 18 of them, 21 of them. They bought us the bill. I went up to pay for it, and this fellow followed me up there. That he and his wife had been watching, and I thought I'd have a little fun. I've got a little mean streak in me, and I sent one of the boys out to the van to get a paper sack. You see, the Wednesday night before then, the church had taken up an offering, Brother Joe, and the pastor handed it to me in a brown paper sack. And I just went on up, I sent Mitch out there, and Mitch brought the bag back in, and I just turned the bag upside down, and I shook it out there on the counter, and most of them was ones, and maybe a 1 5 or 2 5s, and the rest of it was change. And the lady said, whatever it was, we'll say it was $18 or $20, or we'll say whatever, and we had enough. And I looked at the boys and winked, and I said, we've been saving up a long time to come eat with y'all here at the Cracker Barrel. And I no sooner gotten the bill paid, and I turned around and got all my boys around me. We started out the door, and this fellow said, he was dressed about like you, real sharp. He looked about your age, and he said, can I see you just a second before you leave? And I said, I guess so. He said, is this a military school, or what is it? I said, no, sir, this is a Christian home for young men. He said, I told my wife, those guys all have a good haircut. They all are dressed right. They eat like a bunch of football players. And he said, I got to find out about that outfit. He said, what do you mean a Christian home for boys? And I got to witness to him and tell him about how the Lord had changed their lives. Now, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Taking me a while to get there. He said, well, he said, I don't know so much about all that stuff that you're talking about, but he reached in his billfold and he pulled out something, and I don't have one of them, but it was a $100 bill. It was like this, only had two more zeros. And he said something like this. When he pulled that $100 bill, the boys just, I could feel them coming. They come rushing from behind me and come forward. They want to see what all he had in that bill for. He said, I tell you what, he said, I want you to feed these boys a good meal. He said, I'm a hog farmer in Indiana. And he said, I'm impressed by the way these young men look. Now, what he didn't know is that we've had a snowstorm that we didn't know between us and home, and that brown paper sack was going to be depleted. We were going to have to buy an extra meal on the road. The church that we was at in Glasgow, Kentucky, was going to take care of lunch. And that was going to make it back to Calhoun, but the snowstorm wouldn't let us make it back to Calhoun. We made it to Murfreesboro at Franklin Road Baptist Church. And before going into church, we wheeled into my least favorite place in all the world to eat, and that's McDonald's. How many? They have a witness right there. And they don't have any teenage witnesses, but I've got a few adult witnesses. I like their fries, though, and I do like their coffee, come to think of it. But anyway, I said to Mitch, he was the young boy that I'd sent out to the car to get the brown paper sack. I said, Mitch, you pay for this with this $100 bill, and I'll be right back. I went to the restroom, I came back, and I never will forget it. That was when vests were in style, and Mitch had on a three-piece navy blue pinstripe suit. And boy, he was sharp. He was the least little boy we got, like a little banny rooster, a little bit cocky, a little bit arrogant. And he and the lady behind the counter were in a real confrontation. And she said, oh, the devil doesn't want any of this said tonight, you know. But listen, she said to Mitch, don't you have anything besides a $100 bill? She had scanned that $100 bill. And it scanned up good, but it was going to run her cash register a little short. And he stuck his fingers in his vest pockets, and he pulled his pants up a little bit higher like it, and he said, we don't carry anything smaller than $100 bills. Working with teenagers will keep you young, I'm telling you. I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you the truth. That is real. She said, oh, I know it's real. But she said, it's going to run my cash register short. But I said, listen, if it wasn't for the good hand of God touching the heart of a hog farmer from Indiana, we wouldn't even be here tonight. Now, he didn't mean anything smart by that, but he thought, you know, we don't even have anything. We don't carry anything smaller than $100 bills. Wasn't for the good hand of God, we'd not only not had McDonald's, we wouldn't have had anything. But God knew that. You say you believe in things like that? I sure do. Amen. I believe God knew all about it. I believe God touched the heart of that hog farmer. I'll go a step farther. I believe that the Lord knew that we needed to eat at Cracker Barrel that morning, and he had that man there watching that whole thing take place. You say, boy, you're a nut. Well, I'm screwed on the right boat. I believe I'm connected to the right person. I believe God is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I believe God still can. I don't know what you need, brother. I don't know what your need is or your need is, but whatever it is, I want to say tonight, God has never seen anything that in his will he could not do. There's nothing too hard for God. Right. About the time I had to get discouraged, about the time I think, man, you're nearly 60 years old, and here you are out running the roads, and you're telling everybody God's going to do this, God's going to do that. The devil feeds me all that. I remind him that the Lord has never failed us. Amen. I wished I could back up. Don't have the time, but I'm going to give you this much. I didn't grow up in the country. I didn't know how to cut wood. I didn't know how. Probably down here in Florida, a lot of y'all have moved here. Maybe you've had to cut wood. Maybe you know what it is to start a fire and a wood-burning stove, but I never did any of that. I never planted a garden. I never had any of that experience. But when we moved to East Tennessee, the house that we moved into, Brother Joe, was over 100 years old. I hate to confess how ignorant I was, but I didn't know. I thought somebody had bricked up the fireplace for whatever reason, and left a hole right there in the center of it for whatever reason. I was so stupid and so green, I didn't know that was for thimble opening for a stove pipe. I had no idea. Somebody had to tell me that. They added the bathroom, you could tell, because it was under the stairwell. When the house was built, no doubt it was three bedrooms and a bath, not three bedrooms and a bath. And I spent more time under the house than I did in it the first year because it wasn't plumbed and it wasn't underpinned to take care of the... And I got up under there with a blowtorch and trying to thaw out water pipe, but here was the problem. It was all wrapped in newspaper. Some of it was galvanized pipe. Some of it was copper. But unfortunately, some of it was PVC. Can I tell you, that doesn't thaw out too well with a blowtorch after you've taken the newspaper off of it. I like to froze to death, and our family liked to froze to death. We had two small children and my wife. We had not built the first thing. My dad told me something. He's with the Lord now. He said, when he come up there and saw the situation, he said, son, you are either got more foolishness or more faith about you than any kid I ever seen. But you saw what God's done on that video or DVD a while ago. That's to the credit of the Lord. God's done all that. God supplied those needs. God's built those buildings. And the same God who is able to do it 32 years ago and has done it for these 32 years can still do it today. And God's able to do what needs to be done in this ministry. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. I appreciate what God has done. And Brother Joe's told me a few things about what the Lord has done. But the Lord hasn't brought you to this point to leave you here. God's got greater things, I believe with all my heart, Brother Joe, in the days ahead than what some of you have already seen. Now, some of you may say, as others have said as we've gone along, it'll never go over. It'll never do. I tell you what I've encouraged your pastor to do. I've encouraged him to just keep on keeping on. You know, there are all kinds of armchair quarterbacks. He doesn't need any armchair quarterbacks. What he needs is some team players to get behind him and say, preacher, if you believe this is the will of God, we're going to go after it. Amen. We're going to follow you, and we're going to, if you tell us this is the will of God and you've got scripture for it and this is your burden and this is your vision, we're going to do our best to see that accomplished for the glory of God. How many of you still believe God can do great and mighty things? Amen. I'm not trying to get you under any pressure, but I want you to see that what the Lord was facing that particular time was nothing short of a miracle. But God took what he had, That was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he fed the whole crowd. And the Bible says he took up 12 baskets full. I don't know what you think about that, but I call that a miracle. He took up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. There's a message within itself right there. But the second thing I want to mention tonight is that there is no one here tonight too small for God to use. For God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. That's what Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians. You see, there are a lot of people that maybe could be more capable than you, but God's not looking for necessarily the one with the most ability. He's looking for the one who will make themselves available for God to use. One of the disappointments in our ministry, Brother Joe, is I see scores of young people who have great aptitude and have great ability, and yet they are so self-centered and so filled with self, they will not die to self. And as a result, many of those young people come through our ministry that God could have used in a great way. And preacher, I'm sure you've seen it right here. God could have used perhaps many people throughout this ministry, but they are too full of pride and too filled with self for God to use. And if they were to do anything, they'd want the glory for it. And so they're passed by, and God chooses someone else, and God uses them so that he might be glorified. You see, you can get too big for God to use, but you cannot be too small for the Lord to use. God's looking for people who will give him the glory and the honor for what he can do. God's not looking for your ability. Can I let the air out of your balloon? God really doesn't need your ability. God needs your availability. God needs for you to admit to the Lord that you are not anything. Paul said, I am less than the least of all saints. But look what God did with a man named Paul, who learned what it was to die daily. That's what we need to do every day. We need to crawl out of the bed and get our feet hit the ground. We need to have a funeral. We need to die daily. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's nothing too big for God to accomplish. There's no one too small for God to use. Are you with me tonight? God can still do great and mighty things, but he needs a vessel. He chose this lad who probably was less than the least of anyone there. And the lad only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but watch this. What did the one lad do? He gave it all. He didn't say, well, I don't know what you're going to do with that crowd, but I'm going to have my lunch. No, he gave it all. And that's all the Lord needs, is all that you have. Are you willing tonight? And I'm trying to make this plea from my heart. Are you willing tonight to say, Lord, I'm willing to give you. I don't have much ability, but you got it all. I wasn't built for looks, but you've got it all. I'm not much of a teacher, but I'll give it to you, every bit of it. I can love people, and I will love people, and I'll go after lost people, and I'll die to my hobby, and I'll die to my particular wants, and I'll get rid of what I really don't need, and I'll give it all to you. Lord doesn't need great ability or great character or whatever. The Lord needs just all that we have. Are you willing to give it all tonight to the Lord? Transfer what you have to Jesus, no matter how small your lunch might be. Jesus will take whatever you have, and he'll accept it, and he will do great and mighty things. Jesus will transform what you have, because little is much when God gets in it. I like that old song, don't you? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a cross crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll go in Jesus' name. Not your name. Not for your glory, but if you'll go in Jesus' name. Little can be much when God gets in it. I want to say this to the glory of the Lord. I mean this. When we bought that 63-acre farm and later bought another 40-some acres, we had two churches Brother Joe had promised to help us, one at $20 a month and the other at, I think, $35 a month. We bought that property for $35,000. You say, boy, you bought it dirt cheap. I want to tell you something. $35,000 32 years ago might as well have been $350,000 when you had two churches at a total of about $50 a month that was going to take care of you. That wouldn't look good on paper, and it didn't look good on paper. And had it not been, Brother Dan, for the man who was selling it, even though he maybe wasn't an independent fundamental Baptist, in fact, he wasn't even a Baptist, I'll just be honest with you, he belonged to a Methodist church. And he said, he was a businessman, and he said, you mean to tell me, son, you've only got two churches at that kind of money a month that's going to pay for that farm? I said, yes, sir, I want to be honest with you. I never will forget, he pushed his rollaway chair away from his desk and scratched his head. And he said, I don't have any idea why I'm going to do this. But you remind me a little bit of myself when I started out in business. I had a dream. He was in a building business to build a building supply business. He said, you put me in mind of myself and my wife. I said, well, whatever the Lord would allow you to do, if you just give us an opportunity to buy. And we bought it by faith. Can I tell you? We signed a note for about, I think it's 15 years, and the Lord paid that note off in about 10 years. That businessman saw that property paid off, and we built those buildings debt-free. And God's been gracious. God's been able to supply all of our needs because God's not broke. And when you step out on a limb and trust the Lord, God will honor your faith. The just shall live by faith. Hey, if it figured, it wouldn't be faith, Brother Joe. If you can figure out how you're going to do all that you want to do around here on paper, it wouldn't be faith. Right. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
When people begin living by faith, God begins doing. We shovel into Him with a sand scoop, and He shovels back with us with a front end loader.
Amen.
You say, do you really believe that? Hey, I've seen God do too much not to believe it.
Right.
And I've read this book, and I believe what God's told me in His Word.
Amen.
He'll honor your faith if you'll trust Him. Thirdly and last of all, there's no hunger too deep for the Lord to satisfy. The Bible says when they were filled, He took up 12 baskets full. I don't know what your need is tonight, but the spiritual bread and the supernatural bread and the sustaining bread and the satisfying bread can all be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, Christ is still the answer. He's the answer to the rebellious young man or young lady. He's the answer to the broken homes that I preached on this morning. Jesus is still the answer. You see, He can still mend broken hearts. He can still mend broken homes. And He can still mend broken hopes. And there may be somebody here tonight, you say, hey, preacher, money cannot do what needs to be done in my life. Good. God can. The Lord can. The Lord can satisfy the deepest hunger in your heart. When they were filled, the Bible says they took up 12 baskets full, that nothing be lost. You know, there's a lost and dying world. Preacher told me there were 1 million in the city limits and 4 million in the metropolitan Tampa area. There are hungry people, and I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. There are hungry people all around the city who could be, their spiritual hunger could be satisfied when they meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm trying to finish this message. All that you're doing, and you're to be commended with all that you're doing. But all that you're doing, people are not going to knock the doors down to come into that building out there because you have a sign that says East Sly Avenue Baptist Church, visitors welcome or whatever. They're not going to stand in line to come through. You're going to have to go out of the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that the house may be filled. Now, I'm not trying to get upset with you, not trying to get you upset with me. But where there's no vision, people perish. And when in our hearts and in our lives we fail to have a vision, people all around us are going to perish. But I want you to understand, if you'll get a burden, if you'll get a vision for Tampa, for this area, there's just no telling what God will do, not might do, He will do. If you'll go out, preacher talked about visitation tomorrow night. You know, there are a lot of churches, Brother Joe, say that doesn't work anymore. I'm going to tell you something. People don't care how much they know until they know how much you care. And when you knock on a door and they understand that you're not trying to sell something, but you're trying to tell them about the someone who can satisfy the deepest hunger of their soul, you'd be surprised how God could use that and will use that. Visitation and soul winning still works if you'll work it. Amen. The problem is a lot of people are not willing to work it, and it is work. I'll tell you what God does. He'll surprise you. You might come back with no contacts made on every card, but if you've done it for the right motive, for the right purpose, God will send you somebody. He'll put handfuls on purpose in this building because you've been faithful to do what He's told you to do. I love it when God does that. He reminds me He'll reward and honor obedience. Listen to this. I'm done after this. He usually spent Saturday afternoons on the street giving out gospel tracts, but today he was so tired he stayed home to rest. On the desk lay a bundle of tracts. He heard quite careful steps. The door pushed open and his 11-year-old boy asked in surprise, "Dad, aren't you going to pass out tracts today?" "No, it's raining too hard, son." "Dad, when it's raining, doesn't God still save people?" The man was startled at such an awesome question. He explained, "There aren't many people on the street when it rains. Besides, I'm exhausted. Can I go for you?" "No, not in the rain." "I'll wear my raincoat, Dad," the child begged. Then, taking silence for consent, the boy ran out and was back in a moment in his raincoat. Running excitedly, he called, "Hey, Dad, I'm ready. I need some tracts." Seeing his son's eagerness, his father handed him some tracts, just a few, warning him to be careful and return when he was through. In high spirits, the boy started out to distribute the tracts. In the downpour, the streets were nearly deserted. Only occasionally was he able to dispose of a tract. Darkness was coming on. The rain continued relentlessly. Finally, the young boy only had one tract left, but there wasn't a person in sight to whom he could give it. He walked around another block, still no one on that lonely street. What was he to do with that one last tract? "There's a way," he thought. "People don't come to me. Why don't I just go to them?" With quick steps, he approached the nearest house and knocked. "Who's there?" came a voice from within. His heart was thumping with a mixture of fright and joy. He waited a moment, but as no one opened the door, he gathered up his courage and knocked on the door again. "Who's knocking?" He kept it up until the door opened, and there stood an older lady whose distressed face was a sharp contrast to the eager one of the boy on the doorstep. With his face wreathed in smiles, he said respectfully, "Ma'am, excuse me, but I've come especially to bring to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he placed the little tract in her hand. The next Sunday evening, the small street chapel was crowded as usual. The boy's father was acting as an usher, and of course, he had his son with him. After songs and prayer, the pastor asked if anyone wanted to testify of the Lord's grace. An elderly woman with the light of heaven on her face arose and voiced her praise. "Thank God," she exclaimed. "He sent a little angel boy my way to give me a gospel tract last week. Otherwise, on Saturday night, in my loneliness and poverty and utter despair, I was ready to end it all. It was pouring rain and I was depressed. I was going through human suffering and lost my husband and my son. And after a long struggle of depression, I gave way and started to hang myself. Suddenly, outside the door, a knock came on my door. I made no move, thinking to wait until the person had gone before taking my life. But the knocking continued until I had to stop my plan and go and open the door. There stood a young boy with a face of spring who gave me a gospel tract. As I looked at it, I knew that God had not forsaken me. I could not keep back the tears, but confessed my sin and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to pardon me. Praise the Lord, He saved me right there in my own home. Amen. The lad softly whispered to his father, "She's the one. She's the one." Only then did the father know that God had sent his child to find a lost sheep by means of a track on a miserable, rainy Saturday night. You say you believe that? I sure do. God's a God who can do what men say is impossible. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing. Are you willing tonight to give your need of a miracle to Him, whatever it might be, and say, "Lord, I believe You're able. This is too big for me." You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7? It says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I really believe, Brother Joe, God, I believe He wanted you to hear about Shenandoah Haven, Shenandoah Ranch. I'm glad we were able to talk to you about that and show you that. But I wonder tonight, before Brother Joe comes and gives the invitation, if maybe God's got you here for this service. God's had you here for this message. Not because I'm a great preacher. I'm certainly not that. But I have a great Savior. And He's able to bear your burden, whatever it might be. He careth for you. He careth for you in sunshine or shadow. He careth for you. He does. And there's nothing too hard for Him to do. Would you bow your head tonight? Close your eyes. Preacher, would you take the invitation?
Bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Do we think about the message? There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too big for the Lord. And I know in this room, I know some of you are facing things. And then there's some things I don't know. But I want you to know whatever it is you're facing, there's a God that's able. There's a God that can take care of it all. It could be tonight that maybe God's just sent this message your way to increase your vision, to enlarge your vision. Maybe to help you to understand where there is no vision, people perish. Maybe to give you a vision for souls.